whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I mean, he pretty much agrees. Hey, yeah, we won it without Donovan. That's a great win. That first line, though, where he says the locker room tells him, we don't win that game last year. That's not a J.B. Bickerstaff shot. I think it's an acknowledgement of where the Cavs are.
Yeah, is that more towards Atkinson or is that about the growth? And I would lean towards that being more towards Atkinson.
Yeah, I think so. Because, again, like, it's so funny how much we just devalue coaching in the NBA, and I get it. Superstars and the power that superstars have has ruined how we think of the player-coach dynamic. And by the way, a fair amount of it's true. But in situations like in Cleveland, where the right coach steps into the right locker room, and I don't want to get too hyperbolic here because I'm not talking about the end result, but the initial result is not dissimilar from when Steve Kerr stepped into the right team in 2014, and all of a sudden you go see where they were able to take that. I don't know the Cavs can take it to where the Warriors did in all-time dynasty, but yeah, I mean, I really do think, like...
Is it scary, the amount of people that have made that that connection right there and trying to call this an early Warriors team? And I mean, my goodness, the amount of people I heard earlier today assigning different names towards different Cavs players from that 2014...
Who was Clay?
No. We didn't do it. It was the Draymond Green comp that kept being floated around. Mac, you know what I'm talking about there?
For Evan Mobley?
I'm sure you heard that. Yeah.
Oh.
It's getting interesting. And no
Draymond Green wishes, by the way.
No one is saying NBA finals or anything like that in the amount of titles that the Warriors won. They're very vocally being like the early portion of the Warriors. But what part of the early portion Warriors will this Cavs team then develop into the later part of the Warriors?
I just think 32-4, and last night specifically, proves that I don't think you're here without Kenny Atkinson. And so this point, and by the way, I think you would have been able to accomplish similar things with James Borrego, because Borrego and Atkinson were very similar coaches in terms of strength and weaknesses. But I'm trying to think of a coach that maybe we talked about that I think maybe would have gone the wrong way. But basically a similar coach to J.B. Bickerstaff. Great culture guy, but maybe not the best in-game X's and O manager, and maybe not the best communicator in the world either. I said this earlier.
Yeah.
The Cavs did not lean into physicality last night as much as they leaned into being smart about how to exploit. They turned the Thunder's strength into a weakness. They allowed them to get overly physical, and when they did, they usually found a way to draw a foul on offense or defense. That's really smart. Like, Jared Allen can call it ethical basketball. Last night was really smart basketball, and you're doing that against a team that is not dumb. OKC is really, really smart.
Or just the idea that you're able to score almost 130 points against the number one defense in the NBA. Like, we always talk about how a great offense is going to beat a great defense. But you're not supposed to be able to just make a great defense like that. The way the Thunder are, they are the fourth best defense since the turn of the century. Like this is, they're in rarefied air defensively. You're not supposed to be able to turn them into traffic cones, Nick.
So I do think, like, I think we're asking the question, how real is this compared to the playoff disaster? Sorry, that's the wrong question. I'm looking at the wrong thing.
That's okay.
That is this an acknowledgement of Atkinson or is it growth? Where the Cavs locker room's telling Kenny Atkinson, we don't win this game last year. Of course it's both, but I don't think the growth happens without Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah, I think they needed somebody that was as nerdy as they are about the sport.
Yeah.
You know, and when you watch Atkinson and even in the post game where he's turning around and talking about how it didn't matter if you won or lost the game was just such a fun basketball game. He just enjoyed being on the sidelines. But the little nitty-gritty basketball things that you can discuss, and I think this Cavs team was built for someone like that. Now, do you owe Lou Dort an apology?
No.
You ripped him yesterday. You made a mockery out of Lou Dort.
He's still a very good basketball player.
He was on Donovan for 75% of those matchups.
Very good basketball player.
Okay.
But not a superstar. I feel
comfortable saying he's a superstar.
And my Lou Dort is not a superstar.
You lean more towards calling him a trash can than you did superstar.
I just said if that's all you're going to get out of the 75 picks you have is 75 more Lou Dortses, you got enough Lou Dortses.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I get it. What's better than one Lou Dorts? Five Lou Dorts is, you only got 15 roster spots. Somebody's got to be Jalen Williams. Somebody's got to be Chet Holmgren. That's also a ridiculous name for a grown man.
Why did we say it like that?
Because in the NBA, having a grown man named Chet is Football, I get it. Baseball, yep. Be a good second baseman, maybe a good first baseman. Who knows? Chet in the NBA, I think that does not fit. He already looks like an alien. He already looks like Slender Man.
Well, that's what happens when you're that tall.
Yeah, well, no, and that tall and that skinny.
That tall and that skinny. Yeah. I mean, that's, I get, there's a reason why Wemby's nicknamed the alien for a reason.
Yeah, that mustache is already on like three watch lists. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, is this an acknowledgement of Kenny Atkinson, is it about growth?
They spent all day yesterday, whether that was Darius before the game or after the game, talking about the four All-Stars, and I kind of thought that was a nice acknowledgement that, and while, again, not taking a shot at JB Bickerstaff, I thought that was a nice acknowledgement that we wouldn't be here if not for Atkinson.
I think that's a really good point, by the way. Not every compliment of Kenny Atkinson, even when compared directly to last year, is a knock on JB Bickerstaff.
No, they're just different. Yes. That's it. And that's why Kopey and company made the move. He's different.
Anybody else enjoy the complete flip-flopping?
JB, by the way, he's doing a good job in Detroit.
Anybody else, by the way, enjoying the complete flip-flopping of what
the national media
has done?
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
So going into the game, all I heard from a fair amount of national media members were, it's one game, it's a regular season, I'm not going to do this. And albeit it was a phenomenal regular season game and what we all wish every regular season game was, and if it was, the NBA wouldn't have to try and find creative solutions to getting their players to play harder and getting fans more invested. But, oh, man, from Tim Bontemps.
Well, he's the one. He's the one I just want to zero in on for a second.
I just don't know why that guy hates the Cavs. It never made sense to me. I mean, you were a Wizards
article.
Reporter.
It was titled, The Challenges Are Coming for the NBA Best Cavs. And we read all sorts of different... It was basically a 3,000-word hit piece on the Cavs. And then today, people are like, oh, thanks to Tim for acknowledging how great the Cavs are. Because after the game, he was like, oh, yeah, they're a great team and they could do great things. Where were you 24 hours ago, Tim?
In fairness, Brian Windhorst also had to come out and give the mea culpa on First Take, saying, I was wrong about the Cavs.
But Brian did it from the perspective that I think every Cavs fan listening can do it from. Brian did it from the perspective of, because we all picked a side, right? Did you want to break up the duo in the backcourt or the duo in the front court? We all picked a side. And Windhorst was emphatically about breaking up Allen and Mobley, and that's fine. He picked his side. Every Cavs fan did that. We also didn't spend 24 hours ago talking about how we needed to break up the core four. We didn't do that. Nobody did that.
So we will continue on the conversation about OKC and Cleveland, the great game last night, what it means for the Cavs, state of the Cavs, all that and more with Bill Ryder, host of Ryder Than You on the Infinity Sports Network coming up at 3. But we got quick hits coming up, and an Ohio State question turns into a potential problem on 92.3 The Fan.